Welcome. On behalf of Weinberg Information Services, I'm Bob Keebler. Today we're going to spend a few moments on cleaning up IRA distribution issues during tax season. So what we're going to focus on today is the common things you're going to see in the next 60 to 90 days in your practice where you're going to really need to focus in on what you quickly do to mitigate the damages in a particular situation. One of the common things we often see, we get a lot of phone calls in March and April from CPAs and lawyers across the country where clients have blown their 72T payments. So they were 55 years old, they started to take substantial equal periodic payments, and then they missed a year, or they missed the December distribution. Now generally, if there's taxpayers under age 59 and a half, they can take distributions from their IRAs without the imposition of the 10% penalty if they fall within one of the exceptions. Now, one of the exceptions is you can do substantial equal periodic payments, and those, if you start those at age 54, they go the later of 5 years or when you reach 59 and a half. So they're going to have to go till you reach 59 and a half. If along the way you take too little or too much, you're said to have quote-unquote blown your 72T distribution. Now, IRA distributions subject to the 10% penalty are reported on Form 1099-R, and they're going to give you a code of 1 in the box. If they're not subject to that, you get a code of 2. Now, you know, that's really not the heart of the issue. When somebody gets the code of 1, what are you going to do to get them out of the penalty? Now, many times when you're dealing with substantial equal periodic payments, it's simple as you didn't take a distribution properly or more money was added to the account. In many of these instances, you're going to be able to get a private letter ruling that allows the client not to pay the penalty. So we've been involved in both cases where someone has made an extra contribution to the 72T, they put extra money into the IRA, and we can get that cleaned up, or they haven't taken out, for example, they're supposed to take out payments of $1,000 a month all year, but they missed the December payment. Normally, you can negotiate with the National Office of the IRS and be able to put all that back together. So some taxpayers may actually bust their 72T payment, but the financial institution will not catch that. Of course, you need to report that when you're working through that. A busted 72T payment is going to be reported on Form 5329. And if you catch that early enough, you can seek a remedy from the Internal Revenue Service. Now, the second thing we see is sometimes individuals will convert to a Roth IRA and not recharacterize in time. And if they tried to recharacterize but something went wrong at the brokerage firm, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to go back and get 9100 relief if you truly want to recharacterize that. Now, you'd have to have evidence that you tried and something went wrong. When you're reporting the taxable... Now, third thing, reporting distributions. Okay, so when we're reporting taxable distributions, we need to know how much of that distribution is tax-free and how much of that distribution is basis. The same thing also occurs in the world of Roth conversions. Basis is going to be reported on IRS Form 8606, Part 1. One of the most overlooked areas in the world of tax planning is what do we do with our prior non-deductible contributions. And these prior non-deductible contributions, of course, when they come out on a pro rata basis or when they're converted to a Roth IRA on a pro rata basis, are going to be tax-free. And that's what makes us so sensitive. Under the law, you have to prorate that. So if you had $50,000 worth of basis and a fair market value of $150,000, one-third of that distribution or one-third of that conversion would be tax-free and two-thirds would be taxable. Again, that's all done on a Form 8606. The burden of proof falls on the taxpayer. Now, one thing that we need to look at is whether or not Roth IRA contributions have been reported correctly. When you're doing an individual's tax return, you really need to ask them, did you do a Roth conversion? Because many times a bare look at the 1099 will not reveal that. It will just show a taxable distribution. And Roth conversions are going to be reported on IRS Form 1099-R. No special code exists for Roth conversions, so you may not even know it. And typically, the receiving Roth IRA custodian should issue a Form $54.98, showing the total amount of conversion made in the prior year. Roth conversions, of course, are going to be reported on Form 8606, Part 2, and then carried over to Form 1040. You want to be very careful when you're doing conversions that you subtract out any recharacterizations. Now, under the law, taxpayers are allowed to recharacterize Roth conversion anytime prior to October 15th of the year following the year of conversion. So for 2009, Roth conversions could have occurred on 2009 conversions all the way up until October 15, 2010. Undoubtedly, some people missed those deadlines, even though they ran into a $100,000 income limitation. If you went in 2009, and you're just picking all this up now, if you went over the $100,000 income limitation and you didn't get your client's conversion done on time, you can still go back and get 9100 relief from the Internal Revenue Service and clean up this late recharacterization. So those are things we want to think about. Now, let's also look at missed RMDs. Many times clients fail to take out their RMDs. The problem is a 50% penalty is assessed to the extent that the taxpayer has not taken his or her RMD for the year. Now, you can get that penalty waived. There's a waiver provision under 4974D of the code. If the reason for the shortfall was due to a quote-unquote reasonable error and you're taking steps to remedy the shortfall, if you can prove that, the government will waive the penalty. Now, we've been fairly successful in getting the penalty waived. I see no reason to believe you would not have the same type of success. You want to complete Form 5329, and the penalty today, the old law required you to pay the penalty when you applied for the waiver. Today, you do not have to pay the penalty. You can apply for the waiver and ask for the penalty being waived simultaneously. You're going to attach a letter explaining what happened, building your case for why that can apply. Now, one of the things that undoubtedly some of you will see during tax season is missed 60-day rollovers. Now, keep in mind, the law provides that a rollover must occur within 60 days. That's a statutory construction. There's nothing you can do to change that. Failure to roll the IRA over within 60 days is going to result in a distribution which is taxable income. So IRC Section 408D3 Cap I provides the secretary can waive the 60-day requirement where failure to waive such a requirement would be against equity or good conscience, including disaster, casualty loss, or events beyond the reasonable control of the individual. So if you have somebody that's done this, get all the facts and find out why the waiver didn't occur. Now, there's relief available under Revenue Proc 2003-16, and the IRS will look at errors committed by a financial institution, the ability to complete a rollover due to death, disability, hospitalization, incarceration, restrictions imposed by a foreign country or postal error, the use of the amount distributed, what did you use this money for? Did it just sit in an investment account and that you thought it had been rolled over properly, or did you take it and spend it and then try to repay it later? And, of course, the time lapse also comes into play. Now, unfortunately, with these late 60-day rollovers, and I think my friends that practice in this area would agree with me, the IRS is becoming very, very strict on the facts that one must fit into to receive a waiver. The IRS generally not waive the 60-day rollover requirement where the taxpayer has used a distribution of a short-term loan. The IRS will not waive the 60-day requirement where failure was due to the taxpayer's failure to understand the rules. I'm not sure that is cast in concrete, but I think that's going to be the result 80-90% of the time. The IRS has also declined to waive the 60-day rollover where the requirement was where the ability to redeposit the funds was within the taxpayer's reasonable control. Now, this is all facts and circumstances. The IRS has waived things for medical purposes. They've waived where a spouse has died. They've waived when people have been sick or where there was a disaster or casualty. If they're small dollar amounts, it's probably going to be too expensive to go for a waiver. If they're larger dollar amounts, especially if the person is under 59.5, you may want to try to get a waiver of the 60-day rule because the penalty and the income tax is so expensive. So we covered a lot of ground today. You're going to see some things come up in your practice, maybe not this year, but maybe next year. And what I would encourage you to do is be very much on top of your game and look for opportunities to help your clients. On behalf of Leinberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler. We hope this podcast helps you help your clients.